Tonight's show is called Sexy Snakes, and we have on our show Laima Kathleen Graham. And before I go on, I just wanted to say that snakes are very misunderstood animals. And you know that I believe in spiritualness of all our animals. And they guide us. They guide us through all kinds of things. And they give us a sense of healing through our life force energy. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And we're going to uncover the mystery of snakes. Now, one of the things that's been said about my guest is that, and I will quote, Laima's body is a channel for the powerful illumination and teaching of Uraeus wisdom. And Uraeus is the sacred serpent. This was said by Normandy Ellis, author of Dreams of Isis and Feasts of Light. And tonight I want to welcome our special guest and happy to introduce her to you. Her name is Laima Kathleen Graham. Welcome, Laima.
Well, thank you, Ana Maria. Hello. It's really nice to be with you this evening.
Wonderful, wonderful. We want to explore why we think snakes are sexy, why people think snakes are sneaky and scary. And so I want to begin by putting the question to you. Why are snakes so scary?
Well, that's a great first question. And I think that snakes are scary because they seem so mysterious and misunderstood. In our Western Judeo-Christian culture, we've been taught that the snake was evil, that the snake was the evil seducer of Eve, and so the downfall of humanity was blamed on the so-called evil or sneaky snake. But really, snakes are quite shy and gentle, and they're more afraid of us than we should be of them. Very few snakes are actually poisonous, only about 3%. We've been taught to be afraid of them. But if you take a closer look, you'll see that they are actually good for the environment. They eat rodents that destroy crops. Anyway, I used to be afraid of snakes, but after much research on snakes, and I own 4 of them, so they're my pets, I've learned to have a better understanding of this much maligned creature of the reptile kingdom.
Well, you know what? Let's explore. How did you come to overcome your fear of snakes?
Well, I was brought up as a Catholic, and I was taught that the snake was the evil temptress of Eve. But in my church, there was a statue of Mary standing on the world with a serpent at her feet. Well, I was a precocious little girl, and one day as I stood before Mary, I had a vision. Mary came to life, and so did the snake. And the snake seemed to be smiling as though it was Mary's friend. And when I looked up at Mary, she winked at me and whispered, "Shh, now you know my secret." I was only 12, but somehow I got that Mary was not stamping out evil, but that the serpent at her feet was her familiar, her totem. So I'm sure you know what a totem is, because people who love animals are usually very connected to the totem aspect. But all great avatars have totem animals. So Lord Shiva rides a bull, Sarasvati floats on swans, Jesus rides a donkey, and Mary stands on her serpent. I knew I was onto something, but I couldn't tell anyone. I certainly would have been accused of being a heretic. Anyway, after that, snakes seemed to appear to me often in many situations. In fact, right before the interview today, I was taking a walk, and a little baby garter snake slid right in front of me and went into the hole in the ground. But, you know, snakes crossed my path, and when I was little, on a camping trip, my dad killed a big rattlesnake, and he brought back the rattles to show us. But rather than being afraid, I felt sad for the snake, and I became more curious about these exotic reptiles. And even later, many years later, with my boyfriend, Camping with him, someone had killed a rattlesnake and left it on the trail, skinned with the rattles removed. And he was an environmentalist, and he said, let's go back. People should only kill for food. So we went back, and he took that snake, and we roasted it over a campfire and ate it. And it was delicious. It had the consistency of fish and the taste of chicken. After that, I lost all my fear of snakes.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, many years later, when I was pregnant with my son, I started dancing with snakes as a belly dancer. And little did I know that my son was going to be born in the year of the snake. So that was the beginning of my work with this sacred serpent. And I have four snakes: Pyro, a baby corn snake; Isis, a red-tailed Colombian boa; and Nadaba and Monty Pythons. They've been with
me. Monty Pythons?
That's right.
Oh, that's funny. That's very, very cute. So what makes the snake so sexy?
Well, I think snakes are sexy because they're so smooth and sleek. Their bodies have such beautiful, unique patterns, and they have strong spines. In fact, their whole body is one long spine. They undulate when they move, and they coil themselves in a spiral or figure eight. And I think they represent the movement of the universe. And to me, their elegant movement is sexy. And some people believe that they're phallic symbols, which is true. But they actually feel more feminine to me than masculine. I believe the serpent is the totem for all women by virtue of the fact that they shed their skins with their eyes open. When a woman menstruates, she sheds the lining of the uterus of her uterus with her eyes open, bringing consciousness to the death process within her own body. The snake shedding its skin is a universal symbol of the alchemical process of rebirth and immortality. It has more lives than a cat because every time it sheds, the snake is virtually reborn, sort of like the fountain of youth. To me, the idea of renewal and immortality is pretty darn sexy.
What about the male aspect of the snake? Do we have any information on the male aspect?
The male aspect, well, It represents the number one, which is the magician. And the magician or the wand. And of course, the magician has access to all of the elements to work magic and create his universe. So that's how I see it, related to the masculine.
So it's considered a transformational healing animal?
That's correct.
Okay, so I believe that all animals have a spirituality to them. I believe that all animals offer a communication to us. And why are snakes spiritual animals, in your opinion?
Well, I agree with you. I think that all animals are spiritual. I love animals. I don't think that my life would be as rich if I didn't have my animals. But I believe that shamans worldwide also believe this. And they see visions and they're informed by the different animals. But many cultures both fear and revere the sacred serpent. So there's both. And any animal that you fear and you revere really gives it a spiritual potency. So, for example, in ancient Egypt, the gods and goddesses, as well as the pharaohs, wore serpents in their crowns. And the hieroglyph for the goddess is a cobra. And the rearing cobra, known as the uraeus, is a symbol of protection, intelligence, enlightenment, and awakened kundalini. And kundalini is the life force. So, and we also see the twin serpents entwined around the staff of the god Thoth, also known as Hermes. And that's the caduceus, the wand of Thoth is the caduceus. This is a symbol that's still used today in the medical industries. And when our kundalini is unobstructed and flowing, we have radiant health. And that's what that that symbol is that you see on pharmacy.
So Kundalini comes from the goddess Kundalini?
Yes, actually. Kundalini is considered a goddess in India. And she's very revered. And in fact, Lord Shiva wears them on his body. And when it rains, several cobras rise up and raise their hoods to protect the Lord Buddha. And the cobras, they're known as Nagas. They're called fertility deities. And women and men would pray to them to become pregnant or to fertilize the land or for good health or abundance in general. Even the Aboriginal people embrace the rainbow serpent as the symbol for healing and transformation. So the snake is pretty popular in many cultures worldwide.
I know. And, you know, today I was reading about a report that came through the news. A woman in Tame Elazar, northern Israel, does snake spa. And what she does, and people are waiting in line, and they're paying $80 to have her unleash snakes on them. And she
I have heard of this.
Have you heard of this? Yeah. And
people are waiting in line.
Yes, yes. Even Madonna wants to try it.
She likes to make more money. Madonna tried it?
She wants to try this. And there's a lot of people who want to try new things. And this woman, she puts snakes on people and your hair on all over your body. And she wants to expand her treatments, too, to include rodent reflexology, where rats and mice are set free on the feet. Which to me is like not something I would like to try.
No, I don't think I'd like to try.
Yeah,
that. No.
But the snake
massage.
Yeah, this snake massage is attracting nearly a dozen thrill seekers a week at this World Spa, and
I have to find out more about it.
Yeah, it came on the news, and I was just in awe of it, and I thought, wow, you know,
this
is really incredible. So. You know, I guess there's lots of people who don't have snake phobias.
Yeah, I've heard of it done in China at spas.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's very popular. So, you know, it is gaining more popularity. They are really incredible, incredibly smooth, and to have them on your body is just also very amazing to me. It's like getting hugged, and it's like they teach you how to breathe. You know, if you sit with a cat and the cat purrs when you pet it, but a snake's breath is much deeper and smoother, and they're very calm and peaceful. So I find them very calming and peaceful to have on me. And I teach with them. I teach dance with them to women. And so often the women who have been the most afraid end up being the ones who want to take my snakes home with them.
Well, she used to have a farm, a snake farm, and when people would visit her farm, you know, they felt soothed by the cool skin of the snake, and they wanted to hold them. So she thought, wow, I think I'm onto something. And that's how she started her spa. And it's a spa that she owns. And
wow.
It's very relaxing to people to have them on the body.
Yeah, I should be able to teach my snake yoga then around the world.
Hey, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
So you do snake yoga. I've seen your DVD. It's fabulous. It's really, really well done, and I really enjoyed it. And it's enjoyable visually as well as learning this particular, I don't want to call it an exercise because I think it's so much more than that. It's such a spiritually, you get into it, and it has a spiritual depth to it. And it just was very, very wonderful. It's called Snake Yoga, Healing Yoga to Awaken the Goddess Within You. Now, have you found men to like this too, or do men use it as well?
Men can use it too, sure. Generally, you know, men would like it if they really have the patience.
Or if they have women doing it next to them.
Yeah, that's true. You never know. That's a good way often to get.
You never know. I dare go
to get men to do yoga classes, but I did design it for women because I designed it when I was going through perimenopause in my 40s.
Oh, okay.
And I was so fatigued and burned out that I couldn't do my regular yoga practice, which was, you know, I was doing Ashtanga yoga, and it's a very warrior-type style yoga. But I was so fatigued and burned out, I couldn't do it, and I was overheating. My thyroid actually kind of blew out. And as you might know, the thyroid is like the thermometer in the body.
Oh, yes.
And I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism. So it took me a while to recover, but I still needed to feel the kundalini moving in my body. So one day I lit a candle with the Indian saint Ananda Mai Ma. She's known as the Bliss-Filled Mother. I lit a candle with her image on it, and I laid out my yoga mat, and the next thing I knew, a whole series of yoga poses had channeled through my body, but they were all cooling poses. They were all done on the floor, on the belly, or the back, and she gave me a message to call it snake yoga. And she told me these poses, she said the poses would enable my kundalini to circulate into my body in a gentle lunar way rather than a hot burning sensation. Most people who experience kundalini usually experience it as an electrical kind of burning sensation. But what this snake breath, she taught me the snake breath, is inhaling through the nose and then exhaling through the mouth on a long, slow hiss. And it was so deeply relaxing and healing that I just kept doing it, and the poses kept coming. You want to try it? You want to try the
same? Sure, sure. I'd love to try it. Let's all try it.
Okay, so inhale through your nose with your mouth closed, and then exhale on a long, slow hiss.
Wow, that's very
so
calming.
Yeah, and what's so amazing about this is when I teach it to people, they were like, oh, wow. I mean, only one time we did it, and all of you already felt calmer. But if you did this breath 3 times if you were suffering from a hot flash, which is less than 30 seconds, your hot flash would cool down, and you probably wouldn't have any more.
Wow. Well, that's news. That's news. So it's restorative.
Yeah.
And not a workout, per se. It restores you.
It restores you. It's very healing. And it's good for anyone who can't do a hard standing yoga set, or for people who aren't, you know, twisty pretzels, or anyone recovering.
People who are going through menopause.
It's perfect for women. And the whole, I'm going to say from postnatal through the whole menopause, you know, series from perimenopause to the menopause, climacteric, after, you know, and postmenopause. It's just so healing and tonifying for the female organs too, especially after childbirth, because I have a lot of inversions in it, so it actually helps the organs resettle that get kind of whacked out of place after having a baby. But because it's because of the breath and the cooling nature, and because the poses are often so many of them are inversions, the blood gets to recirculate. So it's perfect for people who are on their feet a lot, or who sit a lot, to get the blood circulating back up to the heart and to the throat and to the brain.
And some of these you could probably do in the office on a break. You could probably do them, you know, at home, at, you know, on your floor, and when you feel stressed or tired, or, you know, the need to get some breath in you. And
yes.
I think
Yeah. Sometimes I'll do it when I'm standing in line and I get impatient. I'm not a real patient person, so the snake has really taught me about the quality of patience. And sometimes if I'm standing in line at the post office or the bank and, you know, you're waiting there forever, and we tend not to breathe as a culture. We tend to hold our breath. So if I just even start doing snake breath, I'll automatically calm down. And I'll realize, you know, you can do yoga anywhere.
Yes, you could. Now, I noticed something in your yoga DVD that you are using snakes. That was awesome. So, and they looked like they were going along with your program. I mean, they were on your body. They were all over. Can you explain that? Because that to me was very sensual.
Well, actually, thank you. I only have one snake, and she comes on at the beginning when I do my prayer of honoring the goddess Kundalini as the serpent Kundalini. And so she's on me then. And then as she's again on me, she comes up my spine to illustrate how the Kundalini rises. And so she's there with me at the end and before the serpent in the spine meditation. That's my snake Isis, and she's a red tail boa. But I don't really do yoga with the snakes. You don't. It's just more about being like the snake. So like the poses of cobra, sphinx, the Ouroboros. The Ouroboros is the world serpent that swallows its own tail, and so that creates.
Well, you
know,
the booklet with your DVD is phenomenal. I mean, these illustrations are just phenomenal, and I understand that Naga Kanya did the cover. It's beautiful, and the poses.
Naga Kanya's on the cover. Yes.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's the goddess. Naga Kanya is the serpent goddess, and she
so
brings
it was illustrated
the
by okay, Hirana Janto.
Yes.
Am I pronouncing her name correctly?
Yes. Uh-huh, that's right. She's a famous goddess artist, and she's done a lot of work, illustrating books and calendars, and she's done her own work as well. She's widely known and well-published. So I hired her to illustrate how I saw the serpent moving in the body so that people could, when they looked at the booklet, could get an idea of where my head was at, so they didn't think it was so weird. So then it becomes much more accessible because it's the archetypal energy of the sacred serpent is right there for them to see visually, and they are stunning. And so that's like, I'm so pleased with that part of the DVD.
Well, some of this, I'd like to know more about it. I mean, I'd like to know about Kundalini. I'd like to know more about that. Can you give us a little bit more on that?
Sure. Okay, so the Kundalini in the Hindu tradition is seen as a serpent sleeping at the base of our spines in 3.5 coils. And it is said that when she awakens through the practice of yoga or meditation, and for some people it happens just automatically, well, it's said that she rises up through our Sushumna or central channel of the spine, and she pierces the chakras or energy centers and transforms any negativity or blocks in our consciousness. So to have awakened Kundalini makes one more in tune with their divine spiritual essence, and all the great masters and saints have awakened their Kundalini.
Wow. So the divine essence, the life force, is Kundalini.
That's right.
Exactly. So can you give us some of the benefits of snake yoga per se as opposed to other yogas?
Yes, that's a great question. I'm going to see other yoga practices generally tend to have more of the workout style component to them, if there's a standing practice especially if they're a heat-inducing practice. Which is fine. I love those. I practice those yoga styles as well. But the benefits of snake yoga are a more balanced endocrine system. And so that includes the thyroid and adrenal glands receive a nourishing and rejuvenating energy. The ovaries and uterus receive more prana or life-giving energy, which helps to restore and renew us. And the heart and the brain receive more circulation so we can be more centered, serene, and focused. A reduction in anxiety and stress is a huge benefit, as sleeping better.
Absolutely. Stress is one of the number one enemy in this country today. So how can our listeners get a copy of your snake yoga?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 888-442-4497 or just go to my website, which is www.snakeyoga.com. snakeyoga.com, and you can place your order there.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being our guest. You are terrific. And if people want to reach you, they can reach you at 888-442-4497 or snakeyoga.com. And
thank you so much.
Thanks for being
with us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Anna Maria. It was
lovely. Welcome. You're welcome. And hey, everybody, if you want to have more information, go to snakeyoga.com. Or if you want to know more about my show and me, you could go to prezio.com at P-R-E-Z-I-O. Thank you for being with us. I hope you enjoyed the show, and good night. Have a good evening.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
For listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio with Anna Maria Prezio and her guest, Kathleen. Snake yoga and the tongue do not mix. If you want to hear this all over again about the snake yoga, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see the word archives. Click on that, and list the names will appear. Anna Maria's among them. If you want to download the MP3 stream, please look at the lower right-hand side of the page where you see the letters VIP. Click on that and sign up as a free member, or for $2.60, you can download the MP3 stream into a portable player. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard, PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And before you go away and stray, Hobbes had this to say in Brief Lives: if I had read as much as other men, I should know no more than they. Thank you all very much for listening. Our next scheduled program is coming up, and it's called The Streaming Woman with Toni Quest. So please join us then. Thank you all very much for listening, and remember, please keep listening. Thank you.